Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A lady was taking a trip with two of her best friends from high school, trip of her lifetime. She wanted to go to Europe, wanted to take a tour of Europe. Husband had to stay behind, take care of the business, and so she promised she would check in. And she called him when she got to London and was talking all about the trip, real excited. She said, "Is there anything going on back there?" And he said, "Yeah, your cat died." She went, "Well, could you have at least told me, like, more gently than that? I mean, the cat died?" He's like, "Well, what'd you want me to tell you?" She said, "Well, when I got to London, you could have said, 'Hey, honey, your cat's on the roof.' And then when I called you from Paris, you could say, 'Boy, your cat's stuck on the roof.' And then when I called you from Rome, you could tell me that the cat passed away. Just gently." He said, "Oh, okay, I got it. I'll do better." She said, "Thank you. I appreciate that." She said, "How's mother?" He said, "She's on the roof." Oh, wow. Okay, right? This morning, I'm talking about a subject that pertains to all of us. The subject is on how to become a more resilient person. Probably very apropos in light of challenges, things we've been dealing with lately. How do I become a more resilient person? When I say resilient, what do I mean? Resilient is someone who has the ability to recover from illness or change or misfortune. Resilient also, I like this, it's that property that allows something to resume its shape after it's been bent or scratched or compressed. And I thought, boy, isn't that what life does sometimes? It bends us and scratches us and compresses us. But resilience is the ability to bounce out of that. Struck me this week as I was just praying about what to speak on, and I had one of those YouTube algorithms send me a TED Talk and I thought it was a Christian TED Talk because it said, "TED Talk Christ Church." I went, "Huh." So I looked, Christ Church is actually a city in New Zealand, and this was a TED Talk from New Zealand, but the doctor who was talking on this was a doctor by the name of Lucy Hahn, and she was talking about how to become a more resilient person. She called it 3 secrets of being a resilient person. If you're familiar with TED Talks, they're very secular, 18 minutes, and they get speakers that talk on different subjects. It's been a phenomenon. For some people call it church for those who don't believe in God. But it's got some interesting things in it, and I thought what she had to say had some real good points. She began to talk about she was a psychology doctor, and she talked about her whole doctorate and her whole studies were focused around how does someone become more resilient. And she was working with people in the University of Pennsylvania who had been commissioned to help the U.S. Army develop resilience and mental fitness in their soldiers. Not just physically fit, they wanted the soldiers to be mentally strong and mentally fit. So I'm listening. Because as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, how can I take what she's saying and take it as a pastor and bring it to you and help you? So I want to say, is there anything here? Is there any nuggets? So she's got my attention. And she said that when she finished her studies in Pennsylvania, she came back to Christ Church in New Zealand to do her doctorate. She said when she got back, there was some major earthquakes there a number of years ago. And she thought, okay, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to help my community and take what I learned in academia and help them apply it and help this community recover. And she said, I did that. She said, but little did I know how much I needed it myself. She said, we were going on a weekend trip, my family and our dearest friends. She said, at the very last moment, my 12-year-old daughter, Abby, got out of our car and jumped in the car with her 12-year-old friend and her mom. And they followed, they were following, because I think they were going down to the beach. She said, and they followed us down to the beach. She said, but when they went through a stop intersection, someone ran a stoplight, crashed into them, and killed all 3 of them instantly. And this, as you could imagine in this TED Talk, it got real quiet. And this doctor said, now not only do I have to learn from an academic standpoint, I had to apply this into my life. She said they sent workers to me, and the workers were telling me, these were government workers who were helping me deal with this trauma, and they were telling me that there's a good chance I was going to lose my marriage, there's a good chance I would be succumb to depression, and that, you know, my life was going to be horrible. She said they began to pass out leaflets, and I would get leaflets on the stages of grief, and it was telling me for the next 5 years my life was going to be dominated by grief. She said, I know the workers and the pamphlets meant well. She said, I already knew my life was horrible. And then she said this. She said, what I needed was hope. And I needed a journey through this pain. And I'm listening. And she said, I discovered that there are three things that you can do. Three things that will help. And she listed three strategies for resilient people. She said the first one is resilient people know that bad things happen in life. So they don't spend as much time on why me, because they just recognize that bad things happen. The second thing, she said resilient people choose very carefully where they're going to focus their attention. She talked about, they taught the army soldiers to hunt for the good, look for the good. She said you have to look for the good. You have to find things in life to be grateful for. Resilient people look for the good. And then she said resilient people ask themselves the question, is what I'm doing helping me or harming me? And she talked about the fact that she was looking sometimes at photo albums at night of her daughter. And she realized it wasn't helping her, and she needed to stop. Now, as I read that, I listened to that, I'm thinking, okay, all right, that's pretty good. But then I read one of the comments. Now, I typically don't like reading comments. I get so irritated reading comments sometimes. But this time, what this lady wrote was powerful because it started out, her name was Kim. She said, I buried my son in 2014. He was almost 21 years old, and he died in the military. She said, without knowing it, I did these three things. And then she said, I also have faith in Jesus. I went, bingo, right there. So I thought, let me take those three things, those three secrets for resilient people, and let me bring it into three secrets for resilient people who have a faith and a belief in God. Because there are times, guys, when science and psychology can take you so far, but God can take you the rest of the way. And so I want to look at those, because I think, hey, there's some great strategies there, but they're even brighter when we look at the fact that we have a God that's bigger than all of this. And how do we look at that in Him? And I want to use the example that's one of my favorites. It's from one of my favorite people in the Bible, David, and how David bounced back from a difficult situation. He was a fugitive. He was running from King Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. He had about 600 men that came with him and their families. So they were a nomadic group that moved around. They were living in a city called Ziklag. They had to leave the city for 3 days. But when they came back to Ziklag, David and his men, tragedy had struck. But how David bounced back, how his resilience is what we can learn from. Let's look at his story here. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. That was a priestly garment they would wear. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all." I love this story. I've used this story for years because it's one of the greatest stories of bouncing back that I've ever seen. I love the fact that David and his men, when they came to the city, they felt the loss of it, and they didn't handle it stoically. They didn't handle it like a movie. You know, in a movie, someone would see all this disaster, and they would get that steely look in their eye, and they go, "We're going to overcome." And you go, "Yeah, but that's not real life." Because when David got there, his children and his wife were kidnapped, and his home was burned, and all his stuff was stolen. That's tragedy on three levels. And he wept until they couldn't cry anymore. And then as a leader, you feel responsible. Let's add another layer to that. Another layer, you feel responsible for the people that are following you. And then let's add another layer on that. The people that are following you want to kill you. They're mad. They're upset. They're bitter. And bitter people hurt people, hurt people. And they're looking to lash out. And David felt the pain of this. So David, in all of this, though, we never get a sense that David blamed God. You never get that. You never hear David say that. And then we understand this. You say, "Well, how do you know he didn't blame God?" Because we know what he did next. David turned his focus from the tragedy and he turned it to God. So, "Well, how do you know he did that?" Because you don't get stronger looking at the problem. You get stronger looking at the answer. And David began to turn his attention towards God. And David began to put his faith and trust in God. He knew God's word. But David also knew that God was good and that God would help him. That's one of the biggest things you see in David's life. So I don't know what David did in terms of, we don't know the details of it, but the Bible said David strengthened himself and the Lord is God. If you read through the Psalms, you hear David express his heart. And he probably went off and said, "Lord, I just want to tell you I'm hurting right now, but I know that you are my strength and shield. Lord, you are my refuge. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are my rock and my fortress. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil because you're with me and your rod and your staff, they're going to comfort me. And my enemies may come out against me, but you are greater." And he had to get his eyes off the tragedy and get his eyes on to God because God was his only hope. His men hated him. His family was gone and all his stuff was gone. So the only place he had to turn was God. And he's like, "God, I'm turning to you." And the Bible said David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And then David began to act on something that was going to help him. From that place of strength, David prayed. And he didn't pray, "God, what am I going to do?" Prayer. He prayed an aggressive prayer. It's like he's thinking, "When? Lord, do you want me to go after this group? Do you want me to pursue this group? Do you want me to go after them?" And you can hear this. And he's not thinking survival. He's thinking win. He's thinking overcome. And he took his group of men. I'm going to give you the short version. He took that 600 group of men, and they're heading out after the enemy. Now, there was a lot of them, and only 600 men, and 200 men quit. At the brook, they're like, "Hey, we're tired." If I'm David, it's like, He just kept going. Didn't argue with them. Blessed them. Bless y'all's hearts. Y'all stay here. He kept going. And with his 400 men, he said they killed Amalekites all day long. And 400 Amalekites escaped. So they were already outnumbered. But guess what? David got all his stuff back. He got his wives back. He got his kids back. He got all his animals and his livestock back. And he also got the stuff that the Amalekites had taken from other people. So when David wound up with more stuff than he started out with. And so isn't that like God? That not only can he help you recover, he can help you recover stronger than where you were at the beginning. And so here he was, and he comes back, and he's in a lot stronger position. But it's his resilience that instead of when that tragedy hit, it didn't kill him. He didn't keel over. He didn't stop. He looked to God, and he got help. How can we become more resilient as people? Because, man, I don't like telling you this, but if you're going to deal with life, you're going to have problems. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. He said, "In me you'll have peace, but in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Tribulation is a real nice word for you're going to have problems. It's happening. It's going to happen. I wish it wasn't true. I think sometimes we think, hey, if I love the Lord, if I serve the Lord, I'm not going to have problems. No. You're going to have problems, but you also have answers. So here's some of the things we can do. Becoming a resilient person as a believer. Know that tough times happen, but I'm going to overcome this. There's a lady, her name is Dr. Eva Eger. Dr. Eger, at 16 years old, was a Hungarian Jewish girl that was put at Auschwitz. That was a concentration camp. It was a death camp. 16 years old, Hungarian Jewish girl, watched her parents marched off to a gas chamber and never came back. They made her dance in front of Joseph Mengele, the angel of death. She witnessed cannibalism and ate grass to live. When they liberated the camp in 1945, they thought she was dead, but an American soldier saw her move her hand and realized she was still alive. They pulled her out. She later came to America. She's a doctor. I don't know if she's still living now. She's a doctor of psychology. And she said this. She said, I teach people that they have the inner resources, that whatever comes their way, they have the inner resources to conquer it. She said, I began to develop my inner resources in that concentration camp. She said, because I knew it was the one thing the Nazis could never take from me. She said, and I did not allow that situation to control me. I controlled it. Now, I read about something later like that and go, you are one tough chick. You are tough. And when we talk about you have the inner resources, a lot of times people go, Alan, I don't have those kind of inner resources. Actually, you do. When you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you didn't just get heaven when you die, although that's wonderful. You became a new creation in Christ. You were born into a very strong family, an overcoming family. And look what John says when he wrote in his letter, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. When you put your faith in Jesus, you became a world overcomer. Whether you feel like it or not, you are born in an overcoming family. Your heavenly Father is an overcomer. Your big brother Jesus is an overcomer. You are an overcomer. So that gives us one. You say, well, I still don't know if I just still don't feel that way. Well, forget feelings and go with biblical truth. Here's the second one. And I love this. This is John again. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Because the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you is greater than anything that's coming against you. So that makes us overcomers and gives us the resources that says we can handle what comes against us. If you're going to be a resilient person, then we have to begin to think, whatever comes my way with God's help, I will overcome it. Yes. So I can handle this. That's taking the tough times happen, but it's adding to it. But I got God on my side. Yes. And that makes all the difference in the world. Here's the second thing. You got to choose to focus your attention on the good and on God. What this doctor said, I thought was really good. She said, you can't deny what's happened, but you have to look for things in life to be grateful for. And she said this. She said, don't lose what you have to what you've lost. Her point was she had two children, two boys still at home. And she couldn't lose them because she lost a daughter. When Christina went through an extremely difficult time, I remember Joy and I, especially Joy, got so focused and caught up in Christina that just unknowingly, we kind of pushed Michael to the side for a bit, not on purpose. But so much of our attention went here that we missed some of the things going on with him. And later on, we had to come back and apologize. Say, I'm sorry, we missed you. But Joy, one thing that Joy did do, and I watched her during the sickness, Joy began to also focus on what was good. She had such horrible pain. She had acute chronic pancreatitis. She had such horrible pain. She said she was just in pain, and she was talking to the Lord. And she finally said, Lord, I'm just going to thank you for the good things. So she said, Lord, I want to thank you that this morning I had no pain. She didn't focus on the fact that she had pain for the rest of the evening. And she began to focus on the fact that she said, Lord, this week I only had to take pain pills two or three times. And this week, Lord, and she said it started getting better. Lord, I had a good day this week. I mean, Joy was actually doing that. She was saying, I had a good day this week. What is she doing? There's all these negative stuff going on. She's focusing on what's good. Because it's focusing on the negative is not going to help you get stronger. So focusing on the good helps, but then we can also focus on God. And this is where we have another advantage. Proverbs, the fourth chapter, says this is how we focus on, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I would, when Joy was so sick, she would get up in the morning, and she's a tough chick. But she would get up in the morning and the pain would be so bad, I just had to rub her back and massage her back to help her get out of bed. And I used to say, darling, why don't you stay in bed? Why don't you stay in bed? Honey, just get some extra rest. And I remember she would look at me, she said, I need to get up and I need to spend time with God and I need to read His word. She said, because that strengthens me. What is she doing? She's only focusing on the good and she's focusing on God. Joy had scriptures and she would read those scriptures every day. What's in those scriptures? Seeds of recovery, seeds of resilience, seeds of strength. Guys, we're surrounded by so many things that are negative. We're surrounded by people that are negative. People will look at you and go, oh my gosh, you look terrible. You look awesome. They would tell Joy, you look green, honey. Are you feeling okay? Are you green? I mean, people feel like they have to tell you how bad you look. And she began to tell them, I remember she began to say, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. Finally, she got to be where she said that so much. One of our neighbors said, well, I would ask you how you feel, but all you're going to do is tell me that you're strong in the Lord. Exactly. That's exactly what. I can focus on what's bad or I can focus on God. And I'm telling you, here's the beautiful thing. That was 30 some years ago. She stopped having attacks. She's been great for 30 some years. I know this works. But when we're going through difficult time, we need God's word on the inside of us as life and strength and resilience. Seeds of recovery right there. Then here's the last one. Ask the question, are my thoughts, my words, and my actions helping or harming me? I want to focus just real quickly on your words. When you're going through difficult times, guys, you've got to watch your words. You've got to watch saying things like, it's never going to get better. I don't know how we're ever going to come out of this. I don't know where God is. Your words can help you or they can harm you. Now, here's the scripture for that. It's in Proverbs. There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Have you ever had someone say something to you and it just hurt? They said something to you and you felt like, ooh, boy, that just pierced me. Well, we know that people can use their words to hurt other people, but you can also use your words to hurt you or to help you. When you're going through something and you need to bounce back, you need to begin to say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I'm going to make it by your help, by your grace. I'm coming through. Something we say around here as a staff all the time. All the time. Problems come up, things come up, and one of the things we say as a staff is the Lord's helping us. The Lord is helping us. You'd be surprised at just using how those words promote health. Is what you're doing helping you or harming you? Are your thoughts helping you or harming you? Are your actions helping you or harming you? I love what that doctor came up with. I thought her three secrets of resilient people are great, but I think as a believer, we have an advantage here. Because she said, I needed hope, and we have hope. Because we're the ones that have hope, not just in the Bible, we have hope in a person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's been raised from the dead. That gives us the hope we need, the inner resources we need to become strong, to become a resilient person. Now, if you're listening to me today and you're thinking, Alan, that'll never work for me. I can never become a resilient person. If I could get you to suspend that thought just for a bit and ask the Lord, Lord, can I get there? you're going to find he's going to do nothing but affirm you and strengthen you. Perry Roll is a young man who used to carry in his pocket one of those aluminum crosses, this small little cross, maybe you've seen it. And on the cross beam, it says God. And the O is right in the middle, and down on the beam that goes, the vertical beam, it says loves you. The O in God is the O for loves you. So that's the message. And he would carry this in his pocket all the time. And he said he went to, he was going on a bus ride to see his grandmother. And he stopped at Union Station, had an all-night cafe, and he sat in the cafe, he was getting a bite to eat. When a middle-aged lady came and sat at the table right across from him, he said that when she sat down, he said the Lord just nudged him in his spirit, give that woman your cross. So he just reached in his pocket and walked over to her table and put it on the table. And she pulled it to him. She looked at it and she began to weep. He said, are you okay? And she shook her head. She said, my daughter was killed 3 months ago. She said, and yesterday my husband left me. She said, I thought God had abandoned me. And she pulled out of her purse a 25 caliber pistol and she handed it across to him. She said, I'd come in here to get my last cup of coffee and I was going to end it all. She said, would you please take that? I don't need it anymore. And clutching the cross to her chest, she walked out. Listen, guys, we're resilient not because we're awesome people. We're resilient because we have an awesome God who loves us, who helps us, and we're not alone. What a difference that makes. Not only are we not alone, we've got a God that loves us dearly. Would you bow your head for a moment? This morning, if you came and said, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure, or maybe you're like I was, maybe you had a relationship at one time, you got away from God. We're gonna say a prayer. You recognize, man, I want to come to God, or I want to come back to Him. We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you walk down to the front. But right where you are, or watching online, is your opportunity to make a connection with the one who loves you, with the one who becomes the foundation of our hope. Hope not just for today, but hope for eternity. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you would like our prayers, would you quickly just slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, would you pray for me? Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Great. Appreciate that. You can put your hands down. Obviously, I can't see you online, but this is a prayer for you. We're going to pray it here as a church family. If you're online, you're by yourself, you pray it out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. Here, we're going to pray it all together as a church family. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but this prayer still applies to you. So pray this out loud with us. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.